Good job, guys and gal. Praise the Lord. That was good. The devil ain't got them all.
Amen.
The devil ain't got them all. Amen. There's still some young people that will sing about Jesus. Amen. Praise God for that. The devil ain't got them all. Mark chapter 5, if you found your place, would you join me in standing one last time, please? I'm going to read here a few verses, and out of love and respect for this Bible, I'd ask you to join me standing. You can just follow along there at your seat as I read aloud in Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And I'll do my very best to get you out of here before supper time tonight. Amen?
Yep.
You had a big breakfast, didn't you?
Amen.
No, I'm just playing, y'all.
Amen.
Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, that's Jesus, of course, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. I'll leave off reading there this morning, and I want to talk to you there again in verse 2. It says, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. I want to talk to you this morning about a resurrected life. A resurrected life. Let's pray. Father, Lord, this is your message. Lord, please don't let it fall to the ground, God, I pray. Open up the hearts of the hearers. May their minds be focused on your spirit. May your power, the glorious power of the resurrection, go forth today. I pray, Lord God, I would not get in the way, that there'd be precious liberty here this morning, power from on high. Souls would be saved, God. Lives would be transformed forever through our resurrected Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. The resurrected life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just for Jesus Christ. The reason that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible tells us that he is the first fruits of the resurrection. Not only will all of those who are that die, will all the world one day will be resurrected. That's what the Bible teaches. There will be a first resurrection, that is the resurrection unto life. And then there will be another resurrection, the resurrection unto death. Now, but Jesus died and was buried and rose again. And that resurrection, that power was not just for him to prove that he is Jesus, the Son of God, but also to give you and me the power to live, now listen, in the power, live a resurrected life.
Amen.
To live a life that is completely different from the life that was before the resurrection, the life that was before Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this morning that the resurrected life is not just a religious life. It's not religion at all. You didn't hear me talk about religion this morning. You heard me talk about Jesus. You heard me talk about a Savior. You're going to hear me talk about more about a Savior. A man, Christ Jesus, one God. There's one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Listen, it's not religion. It's a resurrected life. It's not religion. Can I say this to you? It's not reformation.
Yeah, come on.
It's not you trying to reform your life through some type of program or through some type of social working type of area in your life. It is not a reformation. Can I say to you? It's not a recovery.
Yeah, amen.
Now I want people to recover from things in their life that have damaged them and hurt them, and I want people to reform themselves from the filth of sin and degradation. But listen to me, the power that I'm talking to you about this morning is the power of the resurrection, that to live a resurrected life. The Bible tells us that we are dead with Christ, and our old life is buried in sins, and that's what a baptism pictures, and we are raised to walk in the newness of life. That is the resurrected life, a new life altogether. I want you to notice with me in the scriptures in Mark chapter 5. Jesus came out of the ship, he just crossed the sea, and immediately in verse 2, there met him a man. Notice, out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. The tombs, of course, you understand, Jesus was in a tomb for 3 days and three nights. The tomb, of course, is a picture of death, a picture of darkness. There's nothing in a tomb but death and darkness. Jesus came out of the tomb, you understand. The tombs, however, are a picture of death and darkness. This man lived, notice it says in verse 3, he had his dwelling among the tombs. His life revolved around death and darkness. His life revolved around death and darkness. I want you to notice, no religion could change this man's life. The Bible says that he came out. He came out of the tombs to meet Jesus.
Amen.
Now, but listen now, he came out of the tombs to meet Jesus. He had no intentions this morning, stay with me now. He had no intentions, however, of staying out of the tombs.
Come on, preacher. That's right.
Many times, I'm afraid people come out of the death and darkness of their lives and they come to church with no intention of ever staying out of the death and darkness. And when church is over and they walk out the doors, they return right back to the death and darkness of their lives. That's not what I'm talking about. This man is a picture of coming out of the tombs, coming out of death, just to come to Jesus, come and sit in church for a little while, and then go right back. He had no intention. Listen, the Bible tells us that he had been often bound in verse 4. Let's read verse 3 again. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, no man could bind him. No, not with chains. See, I believe that many men had tried to tame him. And listen, that's what society tries to do, is tame us. This man pastors had tried to tame him. Doctors had tried to tame him. Lawyers had tried, jailers had possibly tried to, with chains. He had been locked up. He had been, maybe psychiatrists had tried to tame him. Maybe social workers had tried to tame him. But the Bible says no man could change him. His dwelling was among the tombs, and that's where he always went right back to. He went right back to it. Verse 4 says, he had been often bound with fetters and chains. This had happened quite regularly. Things had changed. People had come and tried to, because see, he was a menace to society. He was a very dangerous man. He lived among the tombs. And the Bible says in verse 4, it often bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. That's what religion tries to do. Religion tries to tell you, listen, you need to be a better person. You need to behave better. You need to act right. You need to have manners. You need to change your ways. You need to better yourself. But what happens is you find yourself right back in the tombs.
That's right.
That's not the resurrected life. That's not the power of the resurrection. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what Jesus offers. That's not what this power that we're celebrating today, that's not what it's about. Verse 5 says, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs again. Crying, notice, crying and cutting himself with stones. Religion could not change him. Reform could not change him. He always, night and day, returned to his place of darkness. Notice though that notice his spirit, his attitude. He was crying and cutting himself with stones. Here, what I see here is a man who is miserable. A man who is literally crying because he's so broken inside. Because he's so burdened down. Everything around him is death and darkness. Everything around him is despair. It's dead end life. That's what it is. There's nothing for this man to look forward to. There's nothing for this man to be happy about. There's nothing for this man to rejoice about. It is dead end darkness, death, tombs. And of course, he's crying. He's cutting himself. What does that mean, preacher? Well, that means he was literally cutting himself. But I want you to get the picture this morning that he hated himself. He did not want this life for himself. Right. He did not want to continue in this place. But that's all he knew. That's all. And he could not change himself.
Come on. Right.
Amen. Well,
hallelujah. Yep.
He couldn't change himself.
Come on. That's right.
He could not change himself. Always, night and day, crying, cutting himself. This is just a picture of the misery of sin.
Yeah.
The sorrow of sin. The lifestyle of sin. The lifestyle of darkness. And this world's death, the darkness of sin. I want you to see Jesus is not offering that to you today. The resurrection is not offering that to you today. The resurrection is a picture of coming out of the tombs. Listen now, and staying out of the tombs. That's the power. The power of Jesus Christ brought Jesus out of that tomb, and he's never going back. That's what I'm talking about. The resurrected life. But this man is a product. Pay attention now. This man is a victim of religion.
That's right. Come on, preach.
Because I want you to notice again in verse 2, he came out to meet Jesus. I want you to notice with me in verse 6, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran, notice, and worshiped Jesus.
Yeah,
hey, listen now. He's a religious man.
Yeah. Come on.
Follow me now. Don't lose me. You're going to see what I'm talking about here. He came out to meet Jesus on his own. Nobody dragged him out there.
Come on, Christian.
He came out and worshiped Jesus on his own. Nobody dragged him out there.
Yep.
But I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove it to you from the scripture. He had no intention of staying out there.
Yeah. Amen.
Night and day, his dwelling was among the tombs.
That's right.
He was a victim of religion. He was a victim of the lies of society that tell you that you just have to reform your life. You just have to turn over a new leaf. You just have to survival of the fittest. Just pick yourself up by your bootstraps and do the best you can, but you find yourself always returning to the tomb.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Definitely.
Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I go to church once in a while. Listen, this man apparently worshiped Jesus.
Yeah, come on. Yep.
See, preacher, how do you know he had no intention of... listen, I'm gonna show you here in a minute. Because look in verse 7. He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, I beg thee by God, notice, that thou torment me not." Now, wait a minute.
Come on.
That's not a man who's happy, who's planning on staying there.
Yeah.
Why would he say that? He's worshiping Jesus, and then he's saying, "Don't torment me," because you've got to see the next verse. Pay attention now, the next verse. "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit."
Yeah.
Yes. What's happening here is that verse 8, now don't miss me. Don't fall asleep on me. Verse 8 happened before verse 7.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's right.
Amen.
Pay attention. God's not going to help you.
Come on, preacher.
Verse 8 happened before verse 7.
Yes, amen.
See how the Bible's worded? Jesus had already said, "Come out of that man, thou unclean spirit." And then verse 7 is his response to Jesus trying to save him.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
What's your response going to be?
Oh, come on, preacher.
Now, pay attention.
Come on, preach.
What's your response going to be?
Come on.
Yep. See, preacher, again, I'm not following you. How do you know he was going to go back to the tombs? Because he was fine meeting Jesus.
Uh-huh. Yep.
He was fine worshiping Jesus. He was religious.
That's right.
But when Jesus said, "There's an unclean spirit in you."
Come on.
Then what did he say? "You're tormenting me."
Yeah, come on, preacher.
You see, what happened is he was religious, but miserable.
That's right.
He was religious, but miserably sad, destroying himself.
That's right.
Cutting himself, destroying his own life without any reason. He just had no control over his destiny. He was born this way and he was going to die that way. Listen to me though. As soon as the power of God began to speak to his heart, Jesus said, "Come out of him, thou unclean spirit."
Amen.
Please don't miss me. What Jesus was saying was, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the great I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the God Almighty of heaven. And I demand thee, come out of that man, thou unclean spirit." See, the resurrection power is the power to clean us up from, listen, from the inside.
That's right.
Because he said, "Come thou out." So where was that unclean spirit? On the inside.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
The heart. The heart. The heart. See, the man was coming out to meet Jesus.
Yep.
He was worshiping Jesus. But as soon as the Holy Spirit started convicting him that he was unclean,
come on.
He said, "Don't torment me."
Come on.
Dearly beloved, he had no intention of staying out of those tombs.
That's right.
He was just religious.
Right. Yep.
The resurrected life I'm telling you about this morning is not a life that leads you back to the tombs.
Yep.
Religion will just leave you back in the tombs.
Yep.
Because nothing will change in here.
Come on.
Jesus started preaching to him with Holy Spirit power.
Yeah, amen.
And then the man said, "Don't torment me." Wait a minute, you just worshiping him a minute ago. Isn't that so typical today? People come to church and the song service is beautiful and everything's beautiful and I love the fellowship, but when God starts speaking to my heart about being unclean, hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute.
Come on.
Who does this preacher think? No. It has nothing to do with this preacher. It has to do with the fact that all of us are born unclean. All of us are born in sin. All of us are born darkness, and death is all that's in our heart. Tombs is our lifestyle. We all had our dwelling in tombs. It doesn't matter if you're the worst sinner or the you've never sinned as far as you're concerned. The fact is, God says it, and you know it, that we are all short of the glory of God because we have all sinned. There is none righteous. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that understandeth. This man did not understand that his reformation and his religion and his attempts at recovering was never going to change who he was inside. The power of the resurrection, dearly beloved, this morning is the power of God to cast out that unclean spirit and to give you a new heart and to give you a clean heart and to cleanse you from all sin and unrighteousness. And then you are alive forevermore and the tombs are the last thing on your mind. The tomb is empty. That's the power of the resurrection. See, he worshiped Jesus. He went to church, but nothing changed. His life was still defined by death, and darkness. His life was controlled by his own internal misery. Crying, cutting himself. Why isn't this religion making a difference? Why isn't all this making a difference? There's got to be more to life than this.
Yeah.
That's what he cried in those tombs. That's what he cried about. That's what the cry of his heart was. Where is the truth? Why isn't this reformation and religion change not doing me any good? All I do is come back to the tombs. He met Jesus, he came out of the tomb, he went to church, he worshiped Jesus, but he had no intention of staying out of the tombs.
Yeah.
I want you to notice in verse 7, he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Now stay there, look, stop right there and look up here for a second if you would. He knew exactly who Jesus was.
Amen. That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
He believed who Jesus was.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, let me chew on that with you for a second.
Come on.
That's not salvation.
Yes.
That's right.
Look me dead in the eyeball. That's not salvation.
That's right. That's right.
You, every one of you is here today on Easter morning. Christmas started the whole thing. Easter finished it. Amen.
Amen.
Easter morning. And you know who Jesus is.
Yeah, come on.
You know who Jesus is.
Come on.
But don't miss what I'm about to... That's not salvation.
That's right. That's right.
That is not the power of the resurrection.
That's right.
Can I tell you, the devil knows exactly who Jesus is.
That's right.
He's not saved.
No.
He's never going to be in heaven with you and me. But get the picture now. He came out to meet Jesus on his own accord. He worshiped Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. He believed who Jesus was. But he was never going to change or be changed until something took place inside.
Come on. Yeah, please. That's right.
Man.
But see, when he began to worship Jesus, Jesus saw right through all of that religion. He saw right through all of that. And it went right to the heart.
That's right.
Just like he's doing right now with you.
Amen.
He went right to the heart. And he said, "You're full of an unclean spirit. If you don't listen to me, you're going to end up right back in the tombs."
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Come on. Amen.
It was so bad. Look in verse 9. He asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." A legion is 1,000. 1,000. That means this evil spirit in this man was overwhelming. He was possessed by so many devils. Look in verse 10, though. I want you. There's 1,000 devils in this man. Unclean spirit that you can't imagine. Of course, you can see by his lifestyle. And notice in verse 10, though, he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now, stop just a second there. This man was so deceived that he was defending the unclean spirit that was in him. Follow me now. He was literally saying, "Okay, it's all right. Well, I guess you can remove it, but just don't send them too far away." You understand, he was protecting and trying to defend the evil. Don't miss it. That was making him cry and cut himself in the tombs. But yet he was so entrenched in this evil that he was protecting the evil. And he was literally saying, "Please, okay, whatever you got to do, but don't send it too far away." What does that mean? I don't want it to go too far away because it's all I know. It's my life. Don't send it too far away because I'm not sure that I want to keep it there. I might want to go back to it. You see, that's what happens to you and me, is we get to the point where we start defending our sin. We start protecting ourselves by saying we're not so bad. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. Now listen to me, dearly beloved. If you're not saved this morning, it's because there's an unclean spirit in your heart, and the power of the resurrection is the only hope that you have. And if you are going to be born again, you have to understand that it must all be cast out, completely gone, as far as the east is from the west. But this man was so deceived and so entrenched in evil that he said, oh, please don't send them too far away.
Come on, preach.
He was defending this evil.
That's right.
He didn't want it to go away completely, not too far away. But you see what happened? Jesus made a point. I'm almost done. Please bear with me. Somebody needs to get saved this morning. Please don't be a distraction. Verse 11. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. Now this man in verse 10 was beseeching Jesus, don't send them too far away. But Jesus put the devils in a herd of pigs. A herd of swine. What's the point of all that, preacher? I'm going to help you if you listen. Because pigs are the dirtiest, filthiest animals on this planet.
That's right. Yeah.
If you've ever had the slop hogs, you don't ever want to do it again. They are filthy, dirty. There is no limit to their stink and stench. They don't care. They wallow in it with a smile. They're filthy. What's Jesus doing here? He's making a point.
That's right.
Not only to this man, but to you and me this morning. That Eve, listen, what happens? Jesus forthwith in verse 13 gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine in verse 13, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Jesus is making a point to this man and to you and me, saying that even the filthiest animals on this planet are tormented by this unclean spirit. Jesus is making a point that these pigs, as filthy as they are, even they know how unclean your life is. Because when the same spirit that this man was defending and trying to protect, when they ended up in those pigs, the filthiest, they ran off and drowned themselves.
Yep, that's right.
Human nature is so deceived.
Yep.
And we think we're just not that bad.
Yep.
But the spirit that takes men and women to hell is the spirit of the devil himself.
That's right. Yep.
And even the hogs say, I can't handle this.
Yeah. Come on,
but yet what we do is we excuse it.
Come on.
We justify it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not so bad.
Yep.
I'm okay. Understand something. That's not salvation.
Yeah.
That's not the resurrected life.
Right.
There's more to the gospel than justifying my sin and not being so bad. Again, religion trying to tame us. I'm finished this morning. Look what happened. Once the devil came out, in verse 14, they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was that was done. And they came to Jesus. Notice in verse 15. And they see him that was, amen, past tense, was possessed with the devil and had, past tense, the legion of devils. Notice, sitting. No more crying, no more cutting, no more screaming, sitting and clothed. You say, what's that mean? Because when you read this account in the book of Luke, this man ran around naked.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. right.
He's now sitting, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind.
Amen.
See, once the devil came out, listen to me, he didn't want to go back to the tombs.
Amen.
He didn't want to go back to the darkness. He didn't want to go back to the crying and the cutting and the misery and the vanity and the emptiness of life. He realized that now everything was different. And I promise you today, Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the power that I'm talking to you today. He's already overcome the sin that's killing people. He's already overcome the sins that destroying marriages and tearing homes apart and making people cry out and wonder why there's no hope. There is hope. His name is Jesus. There is hope. It's a resurrected Savior. There is hope. He's alive today. That tomb is empty. He's never going to die again. There is hope. There is salvation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Come on.
This man was a mess.
Yeah.
Until.
Amen. That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
The power of the resurrection cast out that unclean spirit.
That's right. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Yeah.
And he had peace.
Amen. Yeah.
He was sitting calmly.
Yep.
Clothed. That's another message.
Yeah.
At the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
In his right mind. He was no longer defending evil. He was no longer defending his sin.
Yeah.
He was no longer justifying his religion. He now knew this is the power of the resurrection. The resurrection turns death to life. The resurrection turns darkness to light. The resurrection takes you from the tombs to triumph. The resurrection takes you from naked shame to clothed righteousness. The resurrection takes you from defending the devil to finally a right mind. The resurrection takes you from defending the devil to desiring more of Jesus. Look what it says there in verse 18. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him, asked him that he might be with him. He wanted more of Jesus. He was excited about coming to church. He wanted to be in church. He wanted to be in Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night. He said, I want to be with you, Jesus. I want to hear you speak to me. I want to be around your people. He said, listen, instead of defending the devil, he's now desiring the Savior. Everything is different. The resurrection. The resurrected life. He went from crying and cutting himself to clothed and sitting. He went from trying to tame himself in religion to now to being the part of the Lord Jesus Christ's family. I want you to notice in verse 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. See, this resurrected life takes you from walking in tombs of darkness to witnessing for your Savior.
Hallelujah. That's right.
I'm talking about a power, folks. I'm not talking about religion. Some of you sit here today and you know your life is empty.
Come on, preacher, preach.
Oh, you've been to church.
Come on. Help us.
But there's no change.
Yeah, that's right, preacher.
That's not the power of this resurrection.
Come on.
Some of you are going to go right back to the tombs. Why?
Help us.
Why? Why? Your heart's full of darkness. There's nothing but death, and you're struggling. You're just crying out to God. You're crying out to the world. You're trying to find help. You're not happy, and you know it.
Yeah, that's right.
Religion, this and that and the other. You realize it's all vanity, vanity of vanities. It's all vanity.
Amen.
But not the resurrection.
That's right.
What makes Christianity different, folks? Is a resurrected Savior.
That's right.
A true and living resurrected Savior. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that died for my sins because I'm unclean.
Right.
I was born unclean and so were you.
Right.
But Jesus came and he died for my sins. And they're paid for now and they're cast as far as the east is from the west.
Right.
In the deepest, darkest of the sea. Miles and miles gone as far as forever can be gone. And now he rose again in power over the grave and power over the unclean spirit that's mocking and controlling and making me miserable. And now in through faith in Jesus Christ, I have received the grace of God. I am alive in Christ Jesus, and I do not brag about myself. I did not reform myself. Religion did not change me. There was no recovering addict program that changed me. It was the power of the resurrection of my Savior. I am now living in glory and resurrected power. Not because I'm different, not because I'm better than you, but because Jesus is alive. And I'm saved. And you can be saved too. Some of you prayed prayers years ago.
Come on.
But your life is nothing but tombs.
Well, that was preaching.
You're not fooling God.
That's right.
How can you live in those tombs?
Yeah.
And call yourself a Christian?
Come on, preacher.
That's not the resurrected power. That's not the resurrected life. There's no joy, and there's nothing but crying.
That's right.
And cutting, sorrow, misery.
Amen.
But listen, God's saying to you today, He can cast out that spirit. You come to Him and you place your faith in Jesus Christ, resurrected Savior Jesus Christ. He'll cast out that unclean spirit. And you won't want to go back. You'll be different. Can I get a witness? You'll be different. The people sitting there, amen, and the people that are excited about Jesus, it's not because we're religious.
That's right.
It's because we left those tombs. We left that darkness. We left that death. And we don't want to go back. And we're glad that God delivered us from all of that. Through the resurrection. Jesus came out of the tombs. So you could come out of the tombs. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking around, please. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we come to You with a joyful heart. Oh, so thankful for bringing us out of the tombs. Lord, this man never went back to those tombs. And we thank You, God, that we never have to go back to that death, that darkness, that despair. Thank You, God, for Jesus. Now this morning, Lord, I pray You'd work in the hearts of people here all across this room. There are people here today that need to be saved.